Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Believe the Love by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We believe him because we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, I hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Read verse 16 with me again. And we have known, come on, let's read together. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. You may be seated. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. We have known and believe the love. So this is part three of Believe the Love. Look at somebody say, believe the love. Believe the love. Believe the love. So God loves us, but we got to believe it. We said that the love of God is something ultimately that needs to be experienced more than it's known. It's not cognitive. You have to experience the love of God. When David tried to tell us how good God is, he just wrapped it up by saying, the best thing I can tell you is just, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And so we said we have to believe the love that God has towards us. And then we showed you Galatians 5 and 6 that we have often heard that faith worketh by love. And I gave us another application or paradigm or viewpoint of that scripture, that our faith can only work to the degree that we get settled in the love of God. So if you don't know God loves you, you'll waver whether your prayer is going to be answered. If you don't know that God loves you, you'll waver whether he'll do it for you, because maybe you think he loves other people more than he loves you. So we said you first got to get settled, as the scripture says there from our text. It says we have known and believed the love of God, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, because God is love. So then we've also shown you that because God is love, if you get God, you get all his love. God doesn't love you in degrees. He's not getting to love you. He's not going to love you more based upon him getting to know you better. God loves you, period. Somebody say, God loves me, period. God, you're not on probation with God. Isn't that good to know? Come on, y'all know you put people on probation, you know, and you try them out, you know. You ain't going to give them all the benefits until you pass a certain level or I get to know you like that. Or as people say when they get ready to get in a relationship, they talk about putting myself out there. And some people say, well, I'm not going to put myself out there like that. Well, God has already put himself out there. Amen. When you get God, you get all of God. Somebody say, I got all of God. Come on now, you get all his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. So when God saves you, he don't give you some of his benefits. Come on now, when you get God, you get all his benefits. Somebody say, I got all his benefits. Okay, and so, but we have to believe the love of God. So let's go a little bit further, because we said three things are a result of us believing the love of God. Three things result from us believing the love of God. And the first one we said is boldness. Second, we said fearlessness. And then we said the third thing that's going to result is our love towards others. So we start dealing with this first one, boldness. If I believe the love of God, it gives me boldness. The Bible, because the scripture says there, if we believe God, then we'll have boldness, 1 John 4:17. Here is in our love made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So we're not fearful of seeing the Lord. Amen. We're not fearful of what people call judgment day, because the truth is our sins have already been judged. Amen. I showed you all from the scripture that the Bible says when we see Jesus on this next time we see him, he's not coming to deal with us regarding our sins. He's already dealt with us regarding our sins. Are y'all listening to me? We have been justified, Romans 5 and 1. We've been justified by faith. Now we have peace with God. And because we have peace with God, now I can have boldness because my sins have already been judged, already been dealt with, and God took all of his anger about sin, all of his disappointment about sin, all of the punishment for sin, that's already been taken out on Jesus for us. Are y'all getting that? So Jesus took it for you. God's not mad at you. Somebody say, God's not mad at me. Come on, you got to know God's not mad at you. And see, so church religion will have you thinking God's mad at you. And if you think God's mad with you, then you won't have boldness in the day of judgment. But we showed you in the scripture that because he's not mad at us, the Bible says that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't have to creep up to the throne. This morning, Heavenly Father, come here. He doesn't know how, creeping and scared that he's going to, you know, I don't have a right to come into his presence. I don't have to stay away from church because I messed up. Come on, just come back and get back in his presence. Get cleaned up again. Take a blood bath. Get your conscience clean and pure before God so you can go on with confidence in life. The Message translation of Hebrews 4 and 6 says, let's walk right up to him. And I think I ended last week saying you can roll up on God. Come on, he ain't scared of you. You know, some people, you gotta be careful. Don't be rolling up on me like that. You can roll up on God. He's not scared of you. Amen? So we can take the mercy and accept the help that he's ready to give us. Let me go a little bit more before I go on this week, because I want to talk more about this boldness. Believing the love that he has for me gives me boldness. Everybody say boldness. This boldness now gives me confidence and assurance. Confidence and assurance. So 1 John 3:21 says, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence towards God. Now watch the first reason why your heart shouldn't be condemning you. Because you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have forgiveness of your sins. You've been justified, so there's no reason for your heart to be condemning you. Are y'all with me here? Romans 8 and 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if I'm walking after the Spirit and have a relationship with God, there's no reason for me to have, for my conscience to be condemning me. Now, if I've gotten off track, done something I shouldn't have done, forgive me, you know, there's some area of unconfessed sin. Yeah, I need to confess that and keep it moving. But there's no reason for me to be walking around in this state of perpetual, I know God going to hear me, and you don't know what I did. You don't know how bad I was. And thinking back to your past, you've been saved 20 years, and the devil still is beating you up about what you did 20 years ago. Come on, when the devil even tries to bring it up, say, we ain't going there. That was then, this is now. Come on, that was BC, that was before Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Not some things, all things have become new. Amen. God has given you a clean slate. Come on, somebody say, I got a clean slate. Listen to a testimony. Name is Pastor Phillips. He pastored a church in Baltimore. Bishop Jakes had him preach at the Potter's house a couple weeks ago. And Pastor Marcia said to me, she said, you need to listen to that message. And so I would listen to it this week. Awesome message. But the end of the message, I'm going to share his testimony. Maybe one day I'll bring and let him share it. But the end of it, he talked about how his father was a pastor who got killed when he was 12 years old. And as a result of that, he was mad at the world, mad at God, mad at everybody. His mother's also a pastor. And he was mad. And so in Baltimore, he said, and he just, everything you could do wrong, he did it. He was selling crack, and he said, I did things I don't even want to name that I did. He said, and we had the biggest crowd, the biggest crack, outfit going on in Baltimore back in the day. And so he said that as a result of that, there was a drug bust at his house and in his mother's house. He goes and he's sentenced to 30 years. 30 years. He's in jail one day as he starts serving his sentence, and it's a Sunday, and they come and get him. He said, listen, we need you to come on with us. He said, where are we going? He said, Sunday. He said, listen, the judge wants to see you. And the judge comes to the court, there was a place in the prison where just adjudicate even sentences, and he says to him, do you want to go to jail or you want to go to school? What would you choose? He had been a D1 athlete up until this drug bust. And so his mother and his attorney sends all these letters to the judge. And the judge says to him, he says, I'm going to release you to a program at Oral Roberts University. He said, who is Oral Roberts and what is an Oral Roberts University? He goes to Oral Roberts University, but he said he remembers the judge taking a red marker and crossing out over his record. He said, you will have no record. There will be no trace of what you ever did or what you involved with. How many of y'all know God had his hands on him? So he goes to Oral Roberts University, and we were in Tulsa, and I had even attended some of the they have mandatory chapel services, they have mandatory revival service and all that. And so he changed his location, but his mind wasn't renewed. He said, I was on campus still acting up. He said, I went to the revival we had on campus. He said, I smoked 5 blunts before going to the revival service. He said, and drank some vodka, whatever. He said, I'm on the third row, cutting up, giggling, carrying on. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord came up in that place. Knocked me off my seat, fall on the floor, and I'm speaking in a tongue that I ain't never heard before. Go back to my room and spend 3 days in the presence of God. And I've been preaching the gospel ever since. I'm telling you, the blood works. And watch this here. And so you see him now, and his wife is also a noted speaker and counselor and psychologist and all that. She's a doctor in psychology. And you see what he's doing, what he's doing now and where he is now. Looks nothing like his past. If he didn't tell us that, there's nothing, if he didn't tell us, there's nothing that says that's what he did. Because, watch this, come on. Now, if a judge of the United States Court can make your record go away, how much more the blood? Are y'all hearing me? Because Jesus said, I'm the lawgiver, I'm the judge, and I'm the king. Come on, there's no checks and balances when God decides to show you his favor. So this boldness now, it gives me confidence. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to what? To his will. So catch this. His word is his will. What's his will? His word. So if I ask for anything according to the word, I know he hears me. But this hearing is not just going into these appendages we have on the side of our heads that cause us to hear. This hearing is probably a better word that's used in the scripture, it's a hearkening. Hearken. The Lord hearkens to the prayers of the righteous. This is a hearing and doing. You ever hear something but you don't do nothing? Like right now I'm hearing something, I'm trying not to do nothing. Okay. Hearken means I hear and do. When God hears, he responds. I said when God hears, he responds. It's like a mother, you know, that child in the middle of the night starts crying. Come on, daddy. That child. Mother hears. Mother responds. God hears, and when he hears, he responds. If we know he hears us, watch this. Whatever we're at, then we know we have it. If you heard me, I got it. If he heard me, I got it. If he heard me, he's going to do something. If he heard me, he's going to respond. If he heard me, he's seeing about me. Are y'all hearing me? I ought to remind you that the Bible talks about Daniel. Daniel prays and he asks God for revelation, for some understanding. And Daniel is praying and he's fasting and he's petitioning God and he's afflicting his soul, trying to get a breakthrough for 21 days. On the 21st day, the angel of God shows up. And I assume that Daniel, like, well, what took you so long? What's going on? You know, usually it don't take this long. And the angel said, from the time you set your heart to hear, I've been on my way. He said, from the time you prayed, I've been on my way. Now, you want to catch that? From the time you prayed, I've been on my way. He said, but the prince of Persia, which was not a human magistrate. The prince of Persia represented a demonic spirit that was over this region, tried to keep me from getting to you. He said, but God sent Michael, the warrior angel, to help me get to you. Oh, come on now. You got to believe the love. You got to believe the love. You got to believe that you are that important to God that if one angel can't get you, God will send reinforcement just to bless you. Oh my God. Well, somebody say he loves me like that. Yeah, help is on the way. From the time you prayed, help is on the way. 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 Angels are moving on your behalf. Something's happening behind the scene. Something's on its way to you right now. There's a war going on in the heavenlies for your stuff. Oh, y'all are hearing me here. So, if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, then we know we have the petition we desire him. So, what does confidence look like? What does confidence sound like? Confidence looks and sounds like Jesus at the grave of Lazarus in John 11. Now, Jesus, the whole thing I told y'all, and some of y'all need to get, I want to go deep into this, but this whole thing with Lazarus dying and having to be raised up was a publicity stunt. Study it out. It's a publicity stunt. Jesus knew he was sick, and Jesus knew he was going to die. Okay? They sent message to Jesus, and Jesus continued where he was and didn't let their crisis determine God's plan. Can I tell you, you can have a crisis and God got a plan beyond your crisis. You panicking, you running around, you changing everything, and you need to say, well, God, what do you really want me to do about this? You know, like I told you, you know, I know you waking people up at 3 o'clock in the morning telling them that somebody died. Do you want them to raise them up? If not, let them sleep. Tell them in the morning. I ain't never thought about that. Y'all know that's the truth. If it's somebody close to you, ain't going to sleep for the next 3 days. Leave them sleep that night. See, y'all don't like because I tell y'all the truth. Just want to wake you up 3 o'clock. I just want to let you know so-and-so died. And, okay, now if they just went to the emergency room, we need to pray. Wake me up. Why y'all have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I'm especially telling you that as your pastor. Let me sleep unless you want me to come wake them up. going to try to prove myself to y'all. They sent for Jesus. After Lazarus dies, Jesus says, he didn't get any more notice. He knew he was dead. He said, let's go back. We got to, our friend Lazarus sleeps. We're going to go wake him up. And Peter's like, why we got to wake the man up when he sleep? Let the man sleep. Maybe he's tired. Jesus said, boy, he's dead. He said, oh, okay. And then when he gets there, and he does all his public stuff. All this public stuff, not for him, but for them. Look what he says, John 11. He tells them, take the stone away. They said, well, Lord, by now he stinks. Jesus says, don't matter whether you stink or not, you're going to see a miracle. Can I tell you, God can do a miracle despite your mess. God can do a miracle despite how bad it is, how bad it looks, how bad it smells. Glory to God. John 11, 41. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Y'all need to understand something. If he says thou hast heard me, we already prayed about this. We already talked about it. As a matter of fact, the reason why I took this long and the reason why I didn't show up until now, because we already talked about it and you already gave me a strategy. I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou heareth me always. Mixing tenses there, but he's saying, I knew you heard me then, and I know you hear me now. But because of the people, some things God lets you go through because it's bigger than you. Something God wants lets you go through for the people. Especially those of you who say, well, I'm called. I know God got a plan for my life. God is using me. And God, I got an anointing on my life. And I got a calling on my life. And God's going to do great things through me. If that's your testimony, none of that is about you and none of that is for you. If you have an anointing, it's for people. If God's going to use you, he's going to use you to bless people. God does not anoint you and bless you for you. Are you hearing me? So he says, but for the people which stand here, that's why I'm even having this public prayer and this public display and this public dialogue with you. For the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And so the Bible says that after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and we know Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, because he's standing there at the cemetery. If he just said, come forth, it would have been the first thriller. Everybody would have got up. So he had to be very specific and say, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes forth. And then later on, the Bible said Jesus is eating that like he did before at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. And the Bible says that the people was lined up all around the house looking at it. Look, that one right there. See that one right there putting hot sauce on the chicken? He used to be dead. He said, get out. He ain't even sick. I'm telling you, he was dead. I saw 5 days ago. He raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that people started coming to hear Jesus, not just for Jesus, but because of Lazarus. That whole thing was a publicity stunt. Can I tell you, there's some things you're going through, it's a publicity stunt. God going to bring more people to him. God going to get more glory when they see how he brings you out, how he delivers you, how he turns that thing around. Come on. God going to get glory through your dilemma. God going to get glory through that sickness. God going to get glory through that lack. God going to even get glory through that divorce. God going to get glory through that repossession. God going to get glory through that foreclosure. God going to get glory through failing out of school. God going to get glory out of everything that you thought you couldn't handle. God going to get glory out of that, and the people will say, there is a God, and this is the Lord's doing. Nobody did this but God. Glory to God. So what does confidence look like? Confidence looked like Peter and John standing before the Jewish religious leaders in Acts 4. After the man got healed, they said, now we're telling you, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Now stop preaching about Jesus. You preach about Jesus anymore, you think we beat you this time. You don't even want sheep going to have you preach again and hear you preach about this Jesus again. And look what Peter said, Acts 4:18. And they called him and commanded him not to preach or teach anyone in the name of Jesus. And Peter answered and said, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken, to hear and do what you say more than God, you figure that out.
God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He loves us perfectly and unashamedly. Bishop Herbert Billy encourages you to believe God's unexplainable, crazy love that He has for you. Order this powerful series today on CD or DVD. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Order Believe the Love.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.